We could just pray for each other for a moment, if you'll pray that I'll sort through the soup that's in my head and offer you something from the Lord, and I'll pray that you're able to hear what he wants you to hear. And let's ask for Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We celebrate on Pentecost the birthday of the Church, and Pope Francis has situated a new feast for us tomorrow, always the day after Pentecost, of Mary, Mother of the Church. So I suppose that means Mary is giving birth today to the Church. Those labor pains, the labor pains that she didn't experience according to tradition anyway in regard to the birth of Jesus, she does experience, as we see in Revelation 12 and when she's giving birth to the Church. So any of you who are feeling a little bit of labor pains today after the open house yesterday or after your missions or retreats or whatever you're doing, you know that you're sharing a little bit in the labor pains of Our Lady, and you'll be able to celebrate her even more joyfully tomorrow in that new feast of Mary, Mother of the Church. In reflecting on Pentecost, we reflect in part on the mystery of the indwelling of the Trinity. We talk about the Holy Spirit being poured out and being poured into us, dwelling within us, and we struggle with that image a little bit, but if we can step back for a moment and recognize the way that God dwells in us, first of all, God dwells in all of creation, because creation would not exist if God did not dwell in creation. And this gives us our first experience of God, the God of the philosophers, the God who is the ground of all being, from which all being springs up. Before we have a concept of a face and a voice and a personality, God is fundamentally just the ground of all being, and so he is in all being. No being exists in itself except that being which is God. And we have a hard time understanding this, because when we create things, God has created all things, but when we create things, they exist apart from us. We can think of the beautiful crucifix that Sister Monica created in the Margaret Hermitage. Sister Monica hasn't thought about that crucifix until I just brought it up, but it exists quite without her. Doesn't matter if she thinks about it or not. And God forbid, but in that day when Sister Monica is no longer with us, the crucifix will still be with us. That's how our creations work. They persist beyond us. But God's creation is not like that. It does not persist beyond him. And so we're better able to understand this if we think about that human creation, which is music or dance. We have the opportunity to experience music here, and so we can think about it in this context. As soon as our sisters stop singing, the music ceases to exist. It just isn't there anymore. And I experience that in a particularly poignant way, because I can't create music. I can create some music with my voice, but my fingers are not creating any music on any instruments. I can create noise on instruments, but I cannot create beautiful music on instruments. When you stop playing, the music stops existing. And now if we think about the way that God is singing us into being at every moment, in fact, all of creation. And so this song of all of creation, every leaf is a note, every flower is a note, Every twinkle of the stars and every ray of the sun is a note, a beautiful note that God is singing into existence at every moment. And thank God he doesn't need to breathe, because everything would just flash out of existence when God took a breath. But, or perhaps we can imagine the Father singing to the Son and then the Son singing back to the Father when the Father needs to take a breath, if we really want to extend this analogy beyond its limits. But the idea that God is constantly singing us, that's the attention that he has in creation. And then we can look at the way that we could say God is more in one thing than in another thing. We can only say any of these things by analogy, but if we can say that some inanimate things like rocks, they're in existence, but they don't contain God in the same way that, well, the cows do, obviously, here, especially where they respond to our God reigns. The cows have a special additional share of God's Spirit pouring within them as they exist in the song of creation. But then for human beings, we have an additional share of God's Spirit in an interesting way, because we also have free will. And very fundamentally, religion is that recognition that we are being sung into creation at every moment, and we need to correspond to this. What the ancients feared, that if they didn't offer sacrifice, the sun would stop moving, was a primitive and yet an insightful recognition that if God were to stop, things would stop. And our participation in this, in a very fundamental way, is religion. We're trying to work our way into this song with all of our free will, to harmonize with this song, to participate in this song, to be a part of this eternal song of God singing us into being. On the day of Pentecost, God does an additional thing, because we have the capacity to know him, to know about him, to use our reason and to discern in creation as the philosophers have done. But it's different to know about somebody, to have heard about somebody, than to actually know that person directly. And when we receive the gift of faith, we're having this more direct knowledge of God. It's still through a veil. It's still with a degree of obscurity. But we know him also directly. But then, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and what happens to us in the Holy Spirit, what happens to us on the day of Pentecost, as St. Paul talks about, is that who knows the interior of someone except the Spirit who dwells in that person? And who knows the mind of God except the Spirit who dwells within God? And in this wonderful way, in all of its own obscurity, we not only know about God and we not only know God, but in some way, we experience God from within God. That's what's invited to us alone among all creatures. That's the way that we are allowed, invited, empowered to participate in this song of creation among all creatures. We get it from the inside, not just being the consequence of notes being sung, but being able to actively harmonize, participate, and even experience. And we can think of that greatest gift of the Holy Spirit, that gift of wisdom that the fathers of the church recognized in Latin. Sapientia is that same root word as the word to taste, sapere. We taste divine things. And as we prayed in our Pentecost novena, the gift of wisdom is to develop a sensitivity for the sweetness of divine things, a sensitivity, an acquired taste that isn't just from a single exposure, but requires dwelling in that song and participating in that song and taking up that song in our lives so that we really develop that refined taste for divine things and recognize the sweetness of those things and are able to enjoy them, then also through the gift of knowledge and through the gift of understanding, to enjoy them also in all of creation, to recognize that there's a note of that song in every blade of grass and every tweet of the bird's song and every movement of the cats and dancing of the cows, and everything else contains a sweetness of the divine movement that we uniquely among all creatures have the privilege of internalizing and experiencing. How do we enter into that more deeply? St. Paul tells us, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot say Jesus is Lord. Now I'll tell you, I can actually type it into my phone, and my phone can say Jesus is Lord, but not because my phone is filled with the Holy Spirit. So St. Paul is not talking about just an external nominalism that we can say some words because we can create some sounds like my iPhone, but there's a deeper Jesus is Lord that he wants to teach us to say. It's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of letting go of what I want the song to sound like. A prayer of letting go of how I want the song to unfold in my life or in somebody else's life or in the life of this community or the life of this local church. It's letting go and saying, Jesus is the music director. Jesus is the choir master. Jesus is the one who makes the song. Jesus is Lord. And I yield to his song because it's better than my song. And we will be able to internalize and experience and participate and resonate and make that song pour forth more loudly, beautifully, joyfully, and convincingly from our own lives. The more that we are able to take up that Jesus is Lord, we see what it did to the apostles. When after 9 days of prayer, sometimes we have the mistaken idea that the Spirit wasn't given until Pentecost when there were all of these lights and sounds, but the Spirit was the one that gathered them all together in the upper room for those 9 days of intense prayer and silence. That's why your holy hours here are so beautiful, because they're necessary for that explosion. Unless there is an implosion, there is no sun. There is no explosion of light and heat until there is the implosion of that fusion reaction that takes place, that nuclear explosion that takes place first by coming together and then exploding apart. The Spirit is the one who gathers us in, and the Spirit is the one who sends us out. And the more that we are able to yield to that Spirit, truly saying, Jesus is Lord, the more loudly, beautifully, boldly he will proclaim and shine forth and transform the lives of all of those that we minister to and all of those that we pray for. Jesus also needs to strengthen us. He tells us that he has more, but we can't bear it now. We get the sense that in these fragile vessels, they need to be strengthened. And they're strengthened through our perseverance. They're strengthened through our asceticism. They're strengthened by remaining inside of the song rather than escaping into our own realities, hiding behind our own defenses. The more that we remain vulnerable to whatever God wants to do in us, the more that we can yield to his action in our lives, the more that he strengthens us to be able to bear the notes. We know that there are broken strings on guitars and that there are times that our instruments can't bear the notes that need to be played on them, and they need to be strengthened and restrung and they need to be played again. And so we also, with a few broken strings that need to be repaired and with our own strengthening that needs to happen through our perseverance and our support for each other and prayer for each other, he has more to sing through us. We cannot bear it now, but it's also a promise for the future. What beautiful notes we can't hear in this celebration of the Mass, we have a chance to hear tomorrow and the day after. We have a chance to sing out those notes 5 years and 10 years and 20 years from now. How beautiful it is as we gain steam and build momentum through the context of our religious life and through the growth and development of our religious communities. Let us give God permission. Let us truly say from our hearts, Jesus is Lord. let us ask him, beg him to strengthen these vessels, that we can never sound a false note, that we will never be a cause for dissonance, that we can harmonize and resonate with that divine song that has echoed forth from eternity and that was delighted to sound in each one of us, that God created intentionally and formed beautifully with his own hands and renews and transforms in this Holy Eucharist.